Hello, church. Good morning to you all. This morning I'm preaching, and God has been really speaking to us as a family through the song "Greatest Thy Faithfulness," and actually reminded us of a passage in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. It was given to me actually 2 years ago, just directly about the court case and how God is faithful in all that He does. And so I'm probably going to be preaching more to myself than even to us as a church, that we may encourage one another in this time. And so the title of today is The Won't Quit Widow. It's the title, and it's from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. The Won't Quit Widow. And if we go to the next slide, we can read directly in the passage. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. It says, it's the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, it is here to encourage, it is here to challenge, and it is here to spur us on, Lord God, to be all that we can be. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now, Father, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So yeah, we are looking this morning at the Won't Quit Widow. You know, each and every one of us at some point in our lives have been told not to give up. We've been told to keep persevering, whether it's in your studies or at work or by your parents or by your teachers. I know when I remember in school, my brother was very sporty and was always in the teams for rugby and athletics. And so I was probably a bit of a disappointment to my sports teacher. And he was always reminding me not to quit because my brother was that good at sport. And I was like, well, that's not really spurring me on. That's discouraging me more than anything. But I was always being told, don't quit, particularly for the cross country, which I disliked to the most. I just could not stand running outside in the cold, in the wet, and in the miserable weather. But that was just me. But we were always encouraged not to quit. And they, you know, throughout history, there's been people that have had that perseverance to the end. When you think of people like Thomas Edison, the creator of the light bulb, who was told by his teachers that he was too stupid to learn anything. And actually, he was even fired from two jobs because he was non-productive. And as you may or not know, it took 1,000 attempts to finally create the light bulb. And when asked about this, why he failed so many times, Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed 1,000 times. I have successfully discovered 1,000 ways to not make a light bulb." It wasn't a failure. It was a one way to not make what he'd set out to do. Steve Jobs, the creator and the founder of Apple. Did you know that at the age of 20, he made Apple become a multi-million business, but he was fired from his company. And because he was fired, he then went on to create what we all know as Pixar, the cartoon organization. So he was the one that helped us find Nemo eventually. But if he was not fired, we would never have found Nemo, and we would never actually finally be using the Apple products that we are today, because he was finally taken back into Apple and taken on again as the founder and the CEO. You know, throughout the Bible, we see characters who had the resilience not to quit and not to give up. Job is probably one of those ones that we can think of from the very beginning, who had probably the worst hand of luck you could ever imagine. He lost everything. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his everything that he had was taken away from him. But he remained faithful and he remained persistent. The Apostle Paul is another one that we can see who went from persecuting Christians to actually being the builder of the church, the one that was building the church in the early church. There's a quote that says, "You aren't going to find anybody that's going to be successful without making a sacrifice and without perseverance." Perseverance is so important for us today. It's so important. And that's what we see in the text of this widow, the won't quit widow, the widow that would never stop until she got what she needed, until she got what she felt was right. You know, if we look at the context of this text, we often people read this passage and they think it's purely just about our habit of prayer. But actually, it's a bit more than that, because when you look at it in context, it's actually about our perseverance in prayer and faith with the coming of Christ. Sorry, you can get rid of that. I'm not quite there. So if we look at it in context, actually in verse 7, chapter 17, we can see that Jesus is being asked by the Pharisees about the kingdom of God. Jesus quickly answers them and he goes on to encourage and to challenge his disciples about the coming of the kingdom of God and God and the return of Jesus himself. And he says in verse 33 of chapter 17, "Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you that one night two people will be in bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other will be left." Jesus carries on talking about the coming of the kingdom of God in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And he's talking about our expectancy and our preparation in order for that day when it comes. We see that Jesus has also warned his disciples in Matthew 22, but that many false teachers will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus is encouraging us that if we endure to the end, we shall surely receive the salvation that we so much longingly expect and hope for. Jesus expects us to be a people of endurance, people who won't quit, people who will persevere to the very end. Why? Because Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We see it so clearly in this parable that this woman is a woman of perseverance. She's a woman that will not quit until she finally gets what she desires. So what lessons then can we learn? We know that it's about the kingdom of God and our expectancy of its coming. But what lessons can we learn from this parable? You can share that next slide. Well, the first one is we need to be persistent in prayer. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary."'" We see in here that Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be persistent in prayer, just as the widow was persistent with her plea. The word always pray that Jesus used here reminds us of the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, which Paul is reminding us to pray without ceasing. And you may ask, well, it's impossible to pray 24 hours a day. It's impossible to be praying, otherwise people will think I'm crazy, or they'll think I've gone nuts if I just start blabbering away in prayer and in tongues or whatever else. But actually, that's not, we don't have to always be speaking out prayer. But Jesus is encouraging us that in all circumstances, in all situations, in all outcomes, that we must be continually in the spirit of prayer and intercession. That we must be a people that never give up and are resilient to the end. Is it easy to pray? I don't know about you, but it's not always easy to pray. Some people seem naturally gifted at prayer. I think Emma has a natural just inkling to pray. I mean, once you start her, you can't finish her. My wife's the same. I mean, don't ask my wife to pray when you want to eat or when you want to sleep. One night she prayed for 40 minutes because she just got on fire for the Lord God Almighty, which is great. But when you want to sleep and when you want to eat, it's a challenge. But for some people like me, simple people, prayer is not always easy. And that's when we can begin to sometimes lose heart. I know for my court case, there have been times when I've lost heart because I've not felt that the prayers have been answered. There's a quote that says, "It is easy to lose heart in prayer because the devil hates prayer. If prayer is powerless, it would be easy." And because prayer is not powerless, that means it's not a powerless thing. It's something that has great power and authority. But we can so easily lose heart when we don't know what to say, or when we become self-conscious or worried about maybe we don't have the right prayers to pray. I think most of us can get discouraged when we just hear silence, or when we don't feel like God is really replying to our prayers and our cries. Sometimes we can become so disillusioned with prayer that we just find our prayer life will diminish and will wither away. Difficulties come our way. Unanswered prayers seem to be building up. And sometimes we just aren't getting responses. But that is exactly what Jesus is saying. In light of all this, in light of all that you're going through, in light of the coming of the kingdom of God, we must continue to be like this woman. I love this woman, and if I give you a bit of context about her, we need to look at her life and who she was. As she pleaded with this judge, you have to understand her standing in society. You know, this woman faced many obstacles. The first obstacle was that she was a female. And in those days, being a female was not one that was a respectable place. She had no position to be speaking up for herself. She had no chance of speaking in a court of law because women were not allowed to speak. Secondly, the obstacle that she faced was that she was a widow. And in the time, actually, to be classed as a widow, you had to be over 60 years of age. Because if you were not over 60 years of age, you were expected in the Jewish law to remarry either to your family or relatives so that you weren't a burden to society. So she was old, and she definitely didn't have a husband or any family who could speak on her behalf. We know that she was also poor, so she had an obstacle of poverty, because she couldn't afford to pay a bribe, which would have been so easy to do back in those days. And then lastly, she was faced with an obstacle of a hard-hearted judge who didn't want to know either way. We are told that this judge doesn't care about God or man. He was a very hard-hearted man. And these were the obstacles that she was facing, and she could so easily have got dejected and frustrated with it all. But I love what we read. Verse 3, "And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea." Verse 4, "For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself." Then verse 5, "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." This woman was so frustrating that the judge was worried about being attacked. That word bothering me actually means to give me a black eye. The judge was so worried about this woman because she was, you know, when you have a fly, and we enjoyed the summer, but you have flies come into your house and they're just so annoying. They're buzzing around your house. They're going past your ear. You've opened every door, every window. You've even contemplated knocking the walls down to get this fly out of your house, but it just won't leave. Like, that is what this woman was. She was persistent to the end, to the point of frustration to the judge where he just said, I've had enough. You know, I often think as well, the most persistent people, I think, in the world are children. I don't know if you can relate, but my daughter, although she's not, just about two, she's almost the leader of the world. And she is persistent beyond belief. And she actually spent the week, last week with her grandparents. And my parents were rather tired at the end because she makes sure that she is in charge of every situation. And if she doesn't, when she wants something so badly, she'll go to mummy and ask mummy. But if mummy actually says no, then she'll come to daddy straight away, not knowing that I know that mum has already said no. But she is persistent and she asks and she pleads. And she was so relentless in all she does. Even in prayer this morning for breakfast, we sat down to have breakfast and myself and Lapice had forgotten about our morning prayer. So Olivia goes, because we sing our song. And so she is persistent, making sure that we pray our morning song before we eat our breakfast. And that's what we need to learn, is that actually, like this widow, like Olivia, like the fly buzzing around in our house, we must continue to be resilient in all that we face, no matter what obstacles, no matter what situation, no matter how much the situation seems stacked against us. God is calling us to be a resilient a people. Maybe you've stopped praying, and I want to just challenge you this morning. I don't know what you've stopped praying for. I don't know what you've stopped believing God for. Maybe you've kind of given up praying for salvation for a friend or family member. Maybe you've stopped praying for healing for yourself or someone else. Maybe you've given up praying for a financial breakthrough or for a job or to finally have a child that you've been longing for. My encouragement to you today is, don't give up. Be resilient. Keep on praying. We don't have to pester God, but as it says in James 5 verse 16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we keep praying, when we keep believing, we will surely see God will move mountains and he will make a way. We don't always understand why God does what he does, but he is calling us to be a people of persistent prayer. The value of persistent prayer is not that God will hear us, but that we will finally hear him. If God is silent, if God is saying no, if God is saying wait, keep on praying and you will truly hear his answer. So first of all, we need to be persistent in prayer. Secondly, we need to be confident in the righteous judge. Secondly, we need to be confident in the righteous judge. Verse 2 says, he said in a certain town, there is a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And if we carry on, it says in verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Thank you. You know, I think sometimes we can feel that God is an unjust God. We can ask God, why are you so quiet in all of this? Why don't I feel like we're getting breakthrough? But I want to encourage you, God is not like this judge. When Jesus is saying this parable, he's not saying it to say that God is like an unjust judge, but he's actually saying it to say that God is the complete opposite. God is a God who cares for you. He is a God who wants to answer your prayers. He is a God who who never gets tired of hearing you ask and plead and intercede. He's a God who really loves who you are. And he hears every cry. He hears every whisper. He sees every tear, and he feels every pain, and he wants you to know that he hears you today. So why then would a widow boldly approach an unjust judge, but we can struggle to approach the righteous God of ages? Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God is faithful to the very end. And in order for us to continue to pray in persistence, we must know who God is. We must know his character. We must know his faithfulness. And as we've shared today, one of the songs that has been ministering to us as a family is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O Lord my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. How amazing that is. And Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. God never changes. God is the most righteous of all ages. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. And our confidence does not come in anything else but in who God is and in his unchanging nature. As it says in verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Not only do we have confidence in who the righteous God is, but we can then have confidence in who we are as children of God. He's called us chosen. He's called us accepted. He's called us welcomed. He's called us his children. So therefore, we can boldly approach the throne room of grace. Just as that woman boldly approached the unrighteous judge, the unworthy judge, the judge who was mean and horrible, how much more of children of God, how much more is adopted into the family of God should we approach God with our daily prayer and need? How much more should we daily approach him in confidence, knowing that he loves us and knowing that he cares for us? Our God is righteous. Wonderful judge. We come to a judge who is of perfect and good character. We come to a judge who loves and cares for his children. And we come to a judge who is kind and gracious. And we come to a judge who knows each and every one of us. This morning, as you pray fervently, as you pray persistently, I ask that you also come boldly before your God, knowing who he is and all that he has been and he is yet to be. So firstly, we must be persistent in prayer. Secondly, we must be confident in the righteous judge. And lastly, we must be faithful to the end. If you can show the last one, we must be faithful to the end. Verse 8 says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Message version says, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? These were the very final words of this part of this passage, and it echoes the end of what Jesus was saying about the coming of kingdom of God in chapter 17. And unless we know who God is as the righteous, awesome, wonderful, perfect judge, unless we are people of persistent prayer, then we will not be found as a people of faith when Jesus returns. Jesus is asking here, will I find my disciples have kept praying, or have they lost heart and given up? John Piper says, prayer and faith stand and fall together. If we lose heart and drift away from prayer, then the Son of Man will not find faith in us when he comes. Faith is the furnace of our lives. Its fuel is the grace of God and the divinely appointed shovel for feeding the burner is prayer. If you lose heart and lay down the shovel, the fire will go out and you will grow cold. May we be a people that keep feeding the fire of our faith with prayer, with the knowledge of who God is, in all that he has done for us. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no turning with thee. May we be a people that are resilient in our prayer life, in our devotion life, that no matter what comes our way, that we will not be moved, we will not be swayed. Too often, we hear stories of Christians that have begun to, their lives have begun to unravel. And normally they have many excuses and reasons for it, but when you pin it down, it's because they've forgotten one who God is. And secondly, they've given up praying persistently to see him move. My question to us today is, when Jesus returns, will he find a people that are faithful to the very end, that are confident in who he is and have never given up in persistent prayer? There is a song, I'm not going to sing it, but I don't know if you know, it's called Find Us Faithful. And the chorus says, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful." That is my prayer for us today as a church, that God and Jesus, when he comes back, that he will not find a few, but he will find a people that are persistent in prayer, that are confident in who he is, and that are faithful to the very end.